Podcast.com companion podcast. All rights are reserved. No part of this broadcast may be reproduced or distributed without express written permission. Clips of this podcast may be used in the form of reviews only. Sharing this podcast is encouraged.
Well, thank you very much, Darth Vader, for that amazing intro. My name is Steve Sprague, and this is the UAPmax.com companion podcast. And I want to give you a little bit of information about how this works. So, first of all, I've been in the UFO UAP now, I guess, community for about 30 years. I've done a lot of my own investigation into the topic. I've been with some local clubs here. I'm in Massachusetts, so we have some different places that you can go and talk to people, experiencers, and been a very interesting time. I've professionally been in the restaurant industry for about the same amount of time. I went to school down at Disney Culinary Institute back in about 1993. Since then, I've run businesses. I have owned a business, a couple businesses. I have run companies in excess of $13 to $18 million, districts, basically a lot of different stuff within the hospitality industry. So that doesn't make me uniquely qualified to be an investigator, but I don't think many of us in this field are actual full qualified investigators. We just go about our business and we look the best we can into the facts that we can find. So that leaves us really out there trying to discover the facts and the truth as much as we can. This field does have some ambiguity to it. It's very difficult to explain some things that occur, while other things are very prosaic. They're just simple, simply things that have been misidentified, things and that are misunderstood. And really, that's kind of the challenge for all of us is to get through. So what I want to do is the way that my podcasts, some of them, not all of them, but the way that my podcasts are going to work is as a companion to the articles that I have out there. Of course, we're going to start with the big one, which is aliens are here. Biden met them and they are not friendly. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the article for you. Those of you that have read it, this will be a little bit different for you, because what I'm going to do is anytime that you hear this sound, we will be entering into an area where I will be talking. I'm going to discuss specifics about exactly what was occurring at that time, what I was talking to. So it's kind of like an expanded, I don't know, special edition, or maybe you could call it a director's cut. But however you look at it, it'll be just some more information. And then when we're ready to go back to the article, I'll play that same sound again. So here we go. Aliens are here. Biden met them. They're not friendly. 2 days ago, my world changed. It all happened on Twitter. I've been researching the UFO and more recently UAP disclosure and event history for 30 years. All along the way, I have believed we are being visited. What I learned over this period of time was gleaned from materials oft researched and presented in bombastic and over-the-top ways. Alien abductions, crazy encounters that seemed, let's face it, phony as hell, far too far-fetched to be anything but fanciful nutcases looking for attention. I have always been one to be highly skeptical. Let's face it, the past 10 or so years have launched a myriad of people that care only for notoriety and could care less about facts. My mind works on facts. From everything I have seen, heard, and researched, I was convinced we were being visited. I truly thought the governments were hiding crashed UFOs, UAPs. I don't know what to call them at this point. Spaceships. Let's go with that. Though that isn't entirely correct. I'll get to that in a moment. The past several months brought me closer to my convictions, like many others that were into this topic. Let's first talk Luis Elizondo. Many have said he was the catalyst for the true disclosure moment and started that ball rolling towards disclosure. Hopefully Lou gets to read this. Thank you, Lou. I've heard the government's misinformation rumblings. He's just trying to get some clout accusations, and at the end of the day, I now know what you know. I'll get to that shortly as well. To David Grush, you have the biggest set of balls I've ever seen. You took disclosure ahead probably 20 years or more. You forced the hands of the power elite, rank and file government reps, and made them take stock. You get those under the umbrella itching to speak up. The courage and fortitude to stop dropping the UFO secrets and the fact we are not alone. 2 days ago, someone direct messaged me. They said they wanted to talk, read some of my articles, and like my verve, their words, not mine. So with a grain of salt, we talked. And then we talked and talked. 3 hours later, my world had been shattered, and everything I thought I knew about aliens, disclosure, and UFOs was wrong in almost every way. They are here. They have at minimum 3 operating bases Earthside, and possibly 1 or more Moonside. Within our own solar system and way, way beyond. I have no idea where or how many. Remember when Kirkpatrick said we may have a mothership in our neighborhood? It all became clearer 2 days ago. Let me say this unequivocally, without ambiguity, in no uncertain terms. We are not alone. Aliens not only exist, but have been here for 5 millennia, if not considerably longer. They are not friendly, and humanity is absolutely in danger in more ways than one. I'll elaborate in a second, but let's start at the beginning. Now, here is where I want to stop a little bit and kind of go into this, because a lot has been said about this. I've had a lot of questions about, what type of danger are we in? Who are they? What are they? And the more that I have learned, sorry, my dog is playing with a bag right now. And the more that I've learned and spoken with people in this field, I have learned that there is way more than one species that is visiting us, so to speak. The one that is being discussed in this article, and the one that I discuss throughout my articles, the Ganzi, they are actually what I now believe as the small grays, and I believe that they are the species that are in charge of taking care of what I'll call a galactic or a highway for the entire universe. And I believe they take their job very seriously. I think more than likely it's a species that is not, how do I put this? I don't think that they have a lot of empathy. I think they do their job. And if we get in the way, really tough. They don't care. However, I have also later learned that I believe that there is another species, and I don't necessarily have their exact look. It's all supposition at this point. I believe that they are in charge of making sure that those little gray ones don't take us out. So it's a difficult thing for me to say that they're good or bad. I think maybe less bad than ambivalent. I think maybe we're just thought of as a nuisance. I believe that the Earth itself, and that is the prevailing thought behind what my source is telling me and additional information that has come to light from people that I have spoken with since then, that the Earth is the important part. We're just on the Earth. We're allowed to develop and do whatever we want. It's possible that our origins are from something or someone else. It's possible that these beings are aware of that and have been given an okay to take care of the systems that they need to take care of here on Earth. If we get in the way, we can give them, you know, they can give us a little boot. And they have taken people, and they have killed people, and they have done some crazy things, as you'll learn a little bit more. The person I spoke with is going to come forward, and you will hear them during the congressional hearing on UAPs in a couple of weeks. What I'm about to tell you comes directly from this person, a high-level, C-level person within a very well-known weapons and technology company based within the United States, but operating internationally. Again, I was chosen, I believe, because I am an unknown, but someone that obviously would be responsive and listen, and that I did. So a little note about that. Since then, I have found out our relationship, and I have found out what our specific link was. I'm not getting into the exact part of it because I don't want this person to be revealed. But I will say that there was a funny story that went along with it. And I found out that I do know this person. I didn't know this person, but this person knew me through someone else that knows me very well. I'll just leave it at that. Here's the first thing this person said. After about 15 minutes of banter about family and friends, the getting to know you phase, well, I contacted you because I decided I'm tired, very tired. I've had this secret from the public, humanity, for a long time. I could simply drop all this at that time, but I have a certain strong feeling, and there are many in certain places of power that can and are actively trying to stop it at any cost. I wanted to get this out. What I share with you will be direct evidence of both the confirmation of and evidence of extraterrestrial entities, both on Earth, as well as at least galactically. I added the at least because that was the correct verbiage at the time. There are many civilizations out there. There are two currently on Earth that I know of, humans and Ganzi. Ganzi are from another part of our galaxy. Directionally speaking, they are within 40 light years as the rocket flies. They travel not through conventional space-time, but through fabric ripples created by opening an alternate method of travel. They refer to this as a miasma. This, they stated, is the best representation of the way they travel. Ganzi are not willing to share technology in any way. The tech we have recovered and are in possession of is made of terrestrial components that are manipulated in a way that humans cannot. The metamaterials are created by alien processes here on Earth, and elements in spooky physics are not known to human but exist. They simply won't tell us. That's why we reverse engineer and why these vehicles fail. They are not willing to allow technology on this planet that couldn't be created by humans within several hundred years. Apparently, if we jump a couple hundred years, no big deal. If we jump a million and don't know what we're doing, this is bad. Very bad. Why, I asked. The answer was the start of me being scared, because they are millions of years ahead of us technologically and stated we would cease to exist without proper knowledge of how to manipulate the materials. Secondly, we can't even access the materials in our current configuration of physics and place within the technological tree. Basically, we're not even monkeys. We're protozoa on the tech scale. So at this point, one of the things that I want to talk about is the tech scale. So there's a difference between technology and invention and discovery. Those are different things. Basically, what that means is just because we discover electricity doesn't mean we know how to use it. You need to have inventions based around that. So you can't have the technology first. So later on, we'll be talking about lasers in another article and another companion piece. But I'll give you that as a quick example. So you're given a laser system, right? And this laser system, when you apply enough power to it, can do a lot of different things. It can be used as an offensive weapon, can be used as a defensive weapon. It can also be used to do other things. And we'll talk about those things later. Point being is, if you don't earn and learn the technology for that discovery and you get there, a couple things can happen. One, you can seriously be hurt, and people have, or you can be like a little baby playing with a gun, right? It's not a good idea. So that's what I'm talking about when we're talking about the tech scale and the technology that goes into a lot of the things that they have is for their technology is insanely dangerous. And they do not want us playing with it. There is a very strong feeling here that when I spoke with my source, that these lasers are able to open up wormholes. They're able to open up time, basically go back and forth. Even though Einstein says that it's probably easier to go forward in time and maybe impossible to go backwards in time, I am told that is not the case. These things can't be played with unless you have earned the right to play with them. We have yet to even understand our own oceans. They have been in them operating for millennia. Let that sink in, millennia. And that was the beginning. For the next few hours, I sat there, and as we had our Skype call, he proceeded to screen share and asked me to take over my screen from his end, assuring him that I could not screen share or record. A little note, people have said, why didn't I screen record? Why didn't I just take my camera and do that. Two reasons. One, because he put his trust in me and it's disrespectful. Simply put, if someone's putting their trust in you, you don't break that trust. The second part of it is that I frankly didn't even think of it. I was at this point just kind of with the way of conversation was going. I was a little bit shocked, to say the least. A good friend of mine, I'd heard it before, but a good friend of mine that I spoke with after, he is also in this UFO field. He is just about the biggest name you can get. And I'll leave it at that. We talked about ontological shock, and that was clearly what I was not observing, but it was just it kind of blew my mind. So let's move on. I allowed this to occur. What transpired over 3 hours rocked me to my core. The first thing is, Ganzi are not friendly. I know I'm saying Ganzi and Ganzi, but it's Ganzi. They are not malevolent either, to a certain extent. Mess with them and their mission, and it will end badly. They equate us to flies. We are annoying to what they are trying to do here. But unless you land on them and bite them like a horsefly, you're simply swatted away, pushed to the side. This is good news, but not for some. In fact, we have lost pilots and ships to the Ganzi in a monumental fashion. I was shown, and you will see firsthand during the hearing, one particular episode of an F-15 fighter jet being disintegrated by a particle beam technology that did not blow the thing up. It stopped it dead and turned it to ash, no debris. Okay, so I've been asked about this a lot. Why didn't this person go to the meeting that was held? Long story short, they were aware of him. The nature of what he had was not going to be permissible at that point. In fact, if you look back at it now, you'll see that nothing was really presented other than firsthand accounts. There were no videos. And even since then, there has been a lot of pushback from the community, not just our community, but also from the intelligence community. Can you imagine if that stuff had been shown there, what would have occurred? They are aware of who this person is. This person is in contact with several people that are very high up in this. At this point, any videos or anything that's going to come out will not come out from me. They will come out directly from them. There is a kill switch put in place that if there is a problem, if there is a situation that warrants it, it will occur without any warning. It's actually quite brilliant the way that this person did it. This person is as high level a human being as I have ever met in my life. Brilliant. Trained classically as an aerospace engineer, who then turned from engineer into operator / manager / very high up. This person hobnobbed with the highest of the high in our government, and has made a career out of being right a lot of the times. So what I want to do is I want to explain to you that this person is in the know from those that need to know. And there will be more of that that comes out. I'm not allowed to speak about it. I'm sorry. It's just not the case. Or it's just the case that I cannot discuss certain things. One reason being is that if I give this person away, that would be very bad. Number two, there are things occurring behind the scenes that have nothing to do with me whatsoever. Nothing to do with some of the other people that you see out here in this field that are trying to get disclosure moving. They have to do with officials, and they have to do with the way it has to be done and the way disclosure has to be put forward. There'll be another podcast later on about why this is occurring. I'm not getting into it here. I'm just trying to get through this one article. There was a beam, green in color. It hit the side of the plane. The beam separated into four, went across the fuselage, and then disappeared. The result was a plane-shaped cloud of ash. Nothing else. The incursion happened over the ocean in an undisclosed location. Two fighters were trying to intercept a white tic-tac object, which is the type of craft used mostly over the oceans. The F-15 put a target lock on the object and was then destroyed. The other pilot immediately maneuvered out, and the camera then tilted with the plane, It was not FLIR. This was loud and proud and in bright color. And then the pilot got out of there. It did not end. Moments later, as the F-15 is scrambling out of the area, the pilot is swearing, breathing heavily, and stating his multiple contacts coming out of nowhere. They're all around me. Bogey's all over. Advise, advise. What happens next defies everything we know. Multiple round metallic objects appear in front of the cockpit within feet and keep track of the F-15. The pilot's attempt... evasive maneuvers, but the objects don't mimic his moves. They are as a part of the plane itself, stuck to the plane somehow. The tic-tac-shaped UFO then drops into view and tilts 180 degrees and matches speeds and maneuvers, though really at this point it wasn't maneuvering. The pilot is now freaking out. We hear the controller of the ship speaking, saying he cannot see any targets near him, some squawk, and then silence. Pure silence. The tic-tac proceeds to follow, or lead in this case, the F-15. The tic-tac spins at an incredible rate in a gyroscopic manner. The speed is so great, the F-15 is now being rocked around, the pilot saying he's experiencing rotor wash. And then the thing stops and accelerates instantly away. The round objects unlatch and they are gone. I believe it's important here for me to interject a little bit. When I say rotor wash, that specific term may be wrong. I was... given the opportunity to take notes, I was not given the opportunity to record anything. So some of these things come from what I wrote down. So please understand that if there are some of the terminology that is not exactly perfect, it's my mistake and nobody else's. This was caught on three cameras. Two were Eagle Eye cameras, one in Zoom, one in telephoto, and then a FLIR, so there were three on the screen. What was most troubling was what I was shown after the video had been slowed and analyzed. Two extraterrestrial occupants, small bodies, large heads, big eyes. Somewhere along the way, we had truth out here and never knew for sure. Now we know. They are the Greys. The message was clear. Don't fuck with us. As I sit and write this, I feel like a nut. Was I shown some deepfake? Was I being punked? This is too out there, man. Spielberg must have made this, but he didn't. We delve deeper into why this source had this, and so we go to the how and the why. And here is where it gets scary. Very scary. Let's talk about the Gonzi. The name is something we humans gave them, and I don't know, nor does my source, what it means. It's some type of acronym, as in G-A-N-Z-I. It was simply said to this person and never explained. So later on, that was a little bit of a fib. I actually did know what it meant, but I was told not to reveal it, because it's only known within certain circles. It's not a name that was given to them by an official source. It was apparently something that was said, kind of off the cuff. Somebody made it up within this person's circle. I'll leave it at that. So how does this non-governmental, non-intelligent civilian know any of this and have these items like videos and analysis, documentation on metallurgy and reverse engineered technology knowledge? Because his company is the top firm reverse engineering there, Gonzi Technology. And if this stuff is only a couple hundred years ahead of us, the stuff a million or more years ahead must be so far ahead of the known, Arthur C. Clarke said it best. Any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. Here's what I know, what will be confirmed within the next month. As the Congress has a much-anticipated UFO disclosure event, and that's what I'm calling it, period, hard stop. If you haven't been following, U.S. Representative Tim Burchett used the literal words, Americans deserve the truth about aliens. There's no ambiguity in that statement. And if you read it as something else, I'm saying it like this. You're a buffoon that can't see what's happening right in front of you. Wake the fuck up. One, they're not friendly, but not necessarily malevolent aliens either, unless, of course, you get in their way. Two, we know Earth is a waypoint for something bigger. We have never gotten the answer to what it is. Three, the Gonzi deal with us because they are not here to colonize and apparently have a directive to leave us alone, again, unless we mess with their goals. Four, they create only technology that is used in our oceans, skies, and direct atmosphere that can be created from Earth's elements, from technological methods we don't understand. They're able to manipulate matter in ways we cannot. Five, this is big. The Earth itself is more important to them, but humanity is not. Let me state that another way. We don't matter, only the Earth. If we are here or not, it doesn't matter. Though many scientists claim extreme environmental issues are harming the Earth, the Ganzi are able to fix anything we do, should they need something out of a particular resource or waypoint, or something we don't know. They do not like us playing with nuclear power in weaponized form. Take nuclear devastation off the table. Any attempt to use nukes will be met with a total and complete shutdown of human society. I really want to emphasize this next part. The Earth is important. The little bugs on the surface are not. And if we mess with what they're doing, we will cease to exist. We have been warned. More on that in a bit. We don't know what they're doing, but they've been doing it for a very long time. The reason they lose probes and even manned vehicles is that they are unable to use tech past a couple hundred years of our possible technological timeline. Dead Ganzi don't matter. The theory is their consciousness is stored and the biological bodies don't matter. They can manipulate DNA, increase lifespan indefinitely, cure or prevent any disease, and the beings themselves are able to transfer consciousness from one body to another. There is a supposition they can do this to humans. They have experimented on us, and we don't know why. There are theories that it might be the case that they need humans for something. Galactic war, slaves, supposition here. They will not hesitate to kill humans if it suits them. We are bugs. I've said that a few times, but let it sink in. You, me, we are insignificant, and Earth is not ours. The theory is that life is all around you right now. These beings are able to manipulate higher dimensions and can be anywhere at any time, in any place they want to be. They can stand next to you right this second as you read this, and you'll never know unless they want you to. It's a theory humans have created called multidimensional theory, but the way they operate is best thought to be through brain theory, BRANE. Honestly, I had never heard of it before 2 days ago. It's heady stuff. They have no desire to interact with humans. If we fell off the Earth, they'd be fine. Seriously, at this point, if I hear some idiot mention flat Earth, I'm going to slap the stupid out of your mouth. Grow up. If we just putter around like we are without messing things up, that's fine too. 13. They're going to be here, and if we play with anything that could cause global harm or cause Earth to become unusable to the point of actual physical destruction of the surface, they won't hesitate to stop us without any care whatsoever. I do not think that the atmosphere matters to them, only the physical space the Earth occupies, and somehow nuclear destruction. This is why they have told the governments that should they attempt large-scale nuclear conflict, things will not go well. They have shared some information out of necessity. Let's talk about Biden, governments, and what they know and don't know. You'll see a video of Biden being briefed on technology, viewing a full-sized UAP called a multi-domain vehicle that is able to go into space, into the ocean, and through our atmosphere at speeds humans can't handle, which is why we are trying to, so far unsuccessfully, reverse engineer them. This briefing took place at three different times. Date 1, March 26, 2022. Biden sees and is briefed about a laser that was recovered by the RAF. He is shown this technology and told that China has made significant strides in creating their own reverse-engineered laser from the same type of recovered article that is so powerful it can write words out of the air by stripping electrons off air molecules. The laser being shown to the public is the baby version. The real one is called the Direct Air LSM, or DALSM. It's capable of drawing elements directly out of ore and accumulating them in a reservoir, and eliminating the need for mining and the traditional dirty methods humans have traditionally used. Its real use is far more sinister, and the Chinese have kept the methods for this achievement largely compartmentalized. So, later on in this article, I'm going to talk about the reverse engineering that this person has done. Not specifically this person directly, but his company or this person's company. The thing of it is, this was told to me when I tell you what it is. I was told by three different PhDs that what I was describing was impossible. Lo and behold, 30 days later, the Chinese come out and say that they have found a way to make a laser run indefinitely with a special cooling method. Exactly what I'm talking about. Date 2, May 3, 2022. Biden visits Lockheed Martin in Troy, Alabama. Publicly, the facility that makes the Javelin missile and the guys was that he was visiting to talk about the importance of the facility in the war in Ukraine. The reality was very different. For 1 hour, Biden was sidelined under the guise that he was going to have a discussion with an advisor on an unrelated topic. In reality, Biden has shown in a video this author viewed a full-size orb that has been retrieved fully intact and still contained a laser system that was capable of analyzing bio and strata and relaying information to its source without anything other than hitting a specific point in orbit that has no visible structure, but at times has been detected by ground-based radar, always attributed to atmospheric interference that they now know is a cloaked array that is occasionally visible to the radar. It is thought that during times of heavy transmission, it can be picked up. Theoretical only. Date 4. May 19, 2022, Biden is now in Alaska and stopped off to refuel at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. This video is the most incredible of all. Biden meets with three of the Gonzi. Biden puts a small device in his ear, and a conversation occurs without sound. The video lasts for 9 minutes, and then four people enter the area. One of the people is John Podesta. The other three are unknown. Beings leave, the video ends, and in September of 22, Biden names Podesta as the senior advisor for clean energy innovation. December 14, 2022, America has a breakthrough in fusion. To achieve this scientific feat, a laser is used. This laser has unique properties. My sources confirmed these breakthroughs occurred after his company was able to initiate a cold laser reaction from wobbling a previously unknown element that has not been disclosed, but only discovered after analyzing reverse engineering the same laser that was shown to him by the Brits. Biden only learned of this laser after the date and inquired about whether the U.S. had the same. He found out that, in fact, we do, and it has been studied for almost 2 decades. And the example they had in possession was functional and successfully decoded only after they figured out what was making the laser so powerful while remaining cold. Once that element was unfused, only then did they figure it out. That alone took a decade of work. A decade. We're so far behind them, it's simply silly. Tomorrow evening, I'm going to post part 2, and I'll talk about more of the tech that has come out, how it was reverse engineered, new tech you're about to see within the next few years. So I'm not going to go through and read the rest of the conclusion. I'll just kind of end it here now. Obviously, some of the things that I have talked about are incredibly difficult, and that's okay. I understand that. They are definitely out there. I understand that. And I've not asked anybody to believe exactly what I saw. I'm only asking that you listen and make your own determinations. As we move forward in these podcasts, I will get deeper and deeper into each one of the things that we have discussed. I guess the right word would be revelation. It's fantastic. And I'm fully aware of that. You will see and hear some more things when I'm discussing further articles with you. Specifically, I'll expand upon some of the technology. I'm still working on a piece of one article, the second article on how the orbs and Tic Tacs fly. And again, I'm actually working with two different people right now on some of the scientific part of it. I've given them some information, and they're trying to make an attempt at something. I'm not going to get too deeply into it right now, but the second part is coming soon. Just working on finalizing some stuff for that. So anyway, that's going to conclude this particular podcast for this evening. If you have any other questions, again, please don't hesitate to visit us at uapmax.com. You can email me at buzz@uapmax.com. And of course, we're always on Twitter. You just look us up. Our handle is UAPs_UFOs. Yeah, we hope to have you on there. Thank you for joining us this evening. We hope to hear from you very soon. Have a great day.
You're listening to the UAPmax.com companion podcast. All rights are reserved. No part of this broadcast may be reproduced or distributed without express written permission. Clips of this podcast may be used in the form of reviews only.